Welcome, everyone. I am super excited. The one that kicks it all off, episode one. Here we go. Hello, friends. Welcome to the first episode of the Design Block Podcast. I am Eric Hansen. I am your host, and I'm pretty excited about this episode. So this episode will be very different from any episodes in the future, mainly because it's just me and because we'll be talking about me. The point of that is to give you some history and context of my 23 years in user experience and product design and why some of what I say might be interesting to you. So without further ado, let's jump on in. Okay, hold on. Actually, before we jump in, I will say that if you enjoy this at all, however you've tripped onto it, please subscribe in whichever favorite podcast listening software you have. That way you'll get to hear more of good UX and product design stuff down the road. Okay, thanks. Had to get that business out of the way. Now let's jump in. Okay, I'm going to be honest here. I'm always going to be honest, but it just felt like I needed to emphasize that point right now because this is the third time I have tried to record this podcast episode. The point of this episode is to try to give you some context and information about me, since I'm the guy on the podcast trying to talk about my 23 years experience and talk about UX in a way that that is helpful and all that good stuff. And you should probably know a little bit about the guy that's running his mouth. So that's the point to this particular episode, is to give you a little bit of a primer on me and my experience. And again, the couple times I've tried to do this, it's ended up like 45 minutes long of me just running my mouth, which doesn't seem like a good use of anybody's time. So we're going to try this again. And I'm just going to be like very short, succinct, bulleted list chapters of my career kind of thing. So let's dive in and see how this goes. To start off, you can say that I got into, at least I believe my start, my origin story and user experience came from my second four-year enlistment in the Marine Corps. I always had an interest in graphic design, always had an interest in visual communication before I went in the Marine Corps, but for reasons in life, I kind of gave up that path, went to the Marine Corps, spent my first 4 years working on the avionics systems of Huey and Cobra helicopters, and then I spent my last 4 years being an instructor teaching new Marines how to work on those same aircraft. And it's within that second 4 years where I call the origin story for the genesis of my UX career. And the way that worked was that as part of an instructor, or as the instructor, I was part of an instructional systems development team. And with that, we are charged with creating the curriculum for the Marines. And at the time, the Marine Corps was trying to institute a modernization of their curriculum, working through computer-based training. So they had hired a number of third-party contractors to work with the instructional systems development team, take our curriculum, and convert that into computer-based training. So where the user experience part comes into that was that as we were developing this, we were essentially testing this curriculum with students, and we were learning things that worked well and didn't work well. So kind of user research and the user experience parlance of today, and then having to adjust based off of that. And these were multimedia files. These were different wire tracing flows. So watching current go from one component to another and understanding how that impacted the aircraft. So being able to look at this visual media, having that being digested by students, seeing how that helped or did not help students, and then reworking with the contractors to create a better experience for them so they got a better education, was kind of my moment, right? Where I started to see how software could make things easier and better when it was designed well. That experience, in combination with it being 1998, 1999, kind of the real ramp up into the .com world, I had a number of opportunities to work with design houses in their web applications and what they were doing. So I took on contractor work myself to design websites, and that was really the start. So that is to say that my journey, my entry into user experience and application design is not traditional at all. And I think that's fairly typical for that time. I know today that there are a number of good programs, and human computer action was still a thing back then, but its focus on user experience and product development, like within the school system, wasn't there back then like it is today. So I think a lot of people that came into the industry at the same time I did, you would say, didn't have a traditional, well, I won't even say traditional, I'll say a modern UX background. So I spent a number of years doing different contract and freelance work. I actually opened my own web design studio for a while. And then I would call my real first UX job in 2007 for hotels.com. It wasn't like I wasn't doing UX work before, but the difference between what I was doing before and hotels.com was that when I walked into hotels.com, there was an entire design team there. There was a product team there. So back in 2007, kind of my introduction to what I would call a product and design organization. So there were product owners. We had information architects. We had creative designers. We had researchers. So that was kind of my first experience with that all kind of encompassing team, which was amazing. Watching my first real kind of different research sessions where we had users come into the lab and work through our designs based off of the scripts that we had generated with the researchers. Like, that was incredibly eye-opening. And thinking back and looking at some of the jobs I've had since then, it was really progressive of hotels.com. That was great. That was the kind of, if I'm talking about highlights per job, that was the highlight, being able to work with just the different segments of the disciplines that fall under user experience and product today. That was great. From hotels.com, I went to a much smaller company. It was Calcami. And what Calcami did was they created online studying and certification for fishing and hunting licenses or boating licenses across the 50 states. So very different than what I was doing at hotels.com. It was a much smaller team, which gave me more responsibility across the board, which was nice, taking some of the lessons I'd learned from hotels.com and being able to deploy them there. I think helped them, and it helped me, you know, kind of flex and grow my muscles and process around things like research and understanding all that. So that was good. One of the projects that I did there that I'm the most proud of ended up being an offline product that replicated our online product. So there was a group of states that wanted to be able to serve their kind of most rural constituents that didn't have broadband or reliable internet access. So to be able to provide them the course on a CD, be able to generate the certificate, know that it was valid off the CD and do all that. That was a project that that took a number of months that they had tried third-party companies to come in and do before that didn't work. And we were able to get that done. And the financial impact on the company from that design work and from that product was extremely significant. So I was very proud of that. So that was a good moment back then with Calcami. From Calcami, I moved to Citrix, Citrix Online. Not to be confused with Citrix Systems, Citrix Online is the part of the company that developed GoToMyPC, GoToAssist, and GoToMeeting, and GoToWebinar. My role there was working on the GoToAssist team. I was the lead designer in bringing GoToAssist's remote desktop features to Android, both mobile phones and tablets. So for the first time, my focus became mobile, which was nice. I had done mobile items before, but they were kind of secondary to desktop implementations, where this was the first time it was, you know, a mobile app focused on mobile. So that was a lot of fun. The second most kind of notable part of the time that I was at Citrix was I got to be involved heavily in part of an acquisition. We were bringing a service desk component to our remote support component. And I got sent to New Zealand to work with the team that we had acquired to start getting our design languages kind of normalized across and our information architecture looked at, and developing with them what the service desk piece might look like as we brought it into the remote desktop piece. So having that kind of exposure to the acquisition process and working with a team that you're bringing in and working with those designs, that was like the lessons there were just kind of almost innumerable in that experience. So really appreciate the time that I got to do that with Citrix. All right, so I'm doing a time check. I'm looking at how long I've been talking, and I'm looking at the list of things I have to go through. And I think we're going to change up the format on the fly here. Instead of going just like company by company and trying to pull out like the most interesting thing per company, I'm going to condense some things here. So after Citrix, the focus of my career became on wanting to be in management and leadership. The experience that I had with the acquisition and working with the designers and product, I wanted to move into a management piece. So I started searching for positions that would let me do that. And the long story short of that was that I left Citrix and I went to a company, Cario. It was a medical startup in Irvine, California. When I got hired there, that was supposed to be for a director of UX position. That didn't work out. The person that was the UX director decided not to leave after they hired me, so that didn't work out. So I made a couple more moves trying to get to where I wanted to be. One of those moves at the time felt like stepping back a little bit. And I took a contractor role working for ADP. ADP, the payroll company, not ADT, the alarm company, which people seem to confuse sometimes. But I took a job with ADP because the way that it was pitched to me was that ADP was going through a transition where they were trying to become more product-led, more user-centric. And the way that all that kind of was pitched to me looked and seemed really appealing. It was a way to have an amount of influence that I think would have been hard to get otherwise. So I made that kind of leap of faith and that jump over to ADP. And I was there as an individual contributor for about 15, 16 months. And at that point, I decided to take a look at something that was outside of the financial space, was more in like sports and sports data. And I took a job that was interesting to me in that space for a couple different reasons, with the idea that like management would be an option at some point. The weird part is that like after 6 months there, the UX director that I had had at Citrix got the job at ADP as the UX director after I had left. So one of the things when I left ADP and went to Huddle, they were still like in this period of trying to move the organization to be more user-centric, to be more product-led. And if you've ever been through any kind of an organizational shift like that, it is not clean and pretty. It takes a while. There's a lot of fits and starts. There's a lot of just kind of frustrations. And sometimes things work really well, and then sometimes things don't. And I left kind of when things were at a point where it felt like I had done my individual contributor work that I could do there. And I felt good about that and wanted to move on somewhere else. When I left, I recommended that they kind of finish the journey that we all started and stand up a UX, a proper UX department with a UX leader. They asked if I had any recommendations for a UX leader. I recommended who my UX director was at Citrix. And that's who they hired. When they got there as the UX director, they decided that they needed a UX manager, and they called me. So I went back to ADP as a manager. So it took the transition from, and I think this might be important to talk about it at a later date, the transition from individual contributor to manager finally really took, if I'm looking at my timeline here, four years and what, three or four different jobs. And maybe that's something to talk about in a podcast episode later down the line, is like trying to move from that, going from individual contributor manager and just like what that takes. I know some people have had a much smoother transition than I had. It might be interesting to have conversations with people to understand like why it took me as long as it did. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. So again, went back to ADP as a manager. The UX director had already hired a couple people to build that team. I hired a couple more to put onto that team. And that was when I first started to understand the value of, that's not right, not the value, but the difference in reward for me personally of cultivating, leading, and mentoring a team to a result versus sitting inside a software program of your choice, making designs, like being able to empower the team to do amazing design work became much more fulfilling to me than nailing a design, which I still get pretty excited about. But just the difference between those two is significant to me. So managing my first design team there, hiring, mentoring, got an opportunity through ADP to work with students at the Pasadena Center of Art and Design. That was a great experience and a lot of fun. We did multiple workshops and engagements with them. I did my first rather large public presentation with them. It was a presentation on enterprise design at World IA Day in LA in 2016. So that was, or was it 2017? Anyway, that was dope. That was a lot of fun. You know how old I am because I just said dope. And in my time at ADP, I went from a manager to a senior manager, and like everything was going well there. I started getting heavily recruited from Wayfair, and they were telling me that they were going to start a new area of design within the organization that did not exist before. It was basically the enterprise side, the B2B side of Wayfair, and they needed design managers to come in. I was going to be able to build my own team up to like 10 people based off of what I was doing at ADP. Like what they were offering me sounded like, you know, the best opportunity on the planet to go ahead and like I could start my own team from scratch, you know, work in a new part of the organization, like, again, go through that, what I was thinking anyway, go through that transformation of taking areas of the business that had not had any design and really like transforming it through design. Like that was super appealing to me. The short story with Wayfair is that that's not how that worked at all. 2 weeks after I got there, my hiring manager got laid off along with a bunch of other designers and people. For some reason, I was spared from that. And my time at Wayfair became a 2-year kind of survival exercise, which doesn't mean I didn't have opportunities to do some really good work that I'm proud of, because I did. I ended up being the only designer in a very large technical organization that I think had 10 or 11 product teams and 180 engineers. And the challenge of trying to figure out how to be valuable to that number of people was really interesting. And what ended up happening was really developing my workshop and facilitation skills and being able to lead that section of the company through really interesting discovery phases that ended up pointing that segment of the company in very interesting directions for integrations and things like that. So the design influence didn't come from screens and flows and all of that, but came from leveraging the tools that we typically use for that within the organization to come up with the best plans and ideas for the organization to move forward. So it was not my favorite place, but I did learn a lot, and you know, learning is valuable. So we'll we'll couch it up to a win, one way or another. The Wayfair story ends on a sad note. I was part of a layoff. They laid off, I think, 800 people during my round. That was a very humbling and interesting point in my career. It's nothing that had ever happened to me before. How to deal with layoffs and how to deal with how that hits your heart based on, you know, you internalize a lot of that rejection as a reflection of your work, even though it's not. So that's probably another episode we can do in the future is talking about, you know, dealing with layoffs, and maybe not from the job search perspective, because that's a whole other nightmare, but just like how to deal with yourself and your craft as a result of that, like, rug getting ripped out from under you. Anyway, it's an idea. Moving on. So after Wayfair, I had decided that I did not want to work at a large company again for my next endeavor. I wanted to work at somewhere that was smaller. I wanted to work somewhere that was remote if I could. So I ended up finding a job at Valomail as a lead designer there. And if I'm talking about just kind of like singular pieces of jobs that I think were important at the time at Valomail had me dive back into UX as a craft and creating designs again, which was actually pretty refreshing. Parts of me had missed that. Parts of me still really just get really jazzed up by the mentoring and the management piece, but I still love doing good work and having that work impact the people that use the software. So I was at Valomail, and then I got hit up by a person that I worked with at both Carrio and ADP to come to Ubiety. And that's kind of where I've been since. And there's a lot of interesting work being done there that I can't really talk about right now. And I know that seems super cagey, but that's okay. It's my podcast and I get to do that. But anyway, there is it's still not very short, but there's the kind of short synopsis of my 23 years in UX. And I hope that it's interesting enough and validating enough for you to want to listen to other stuff I have to say. I guess my goal for this was to be able to provide you enough history and context that as we move forward in the podcast and talk about more things, that, you know, I'm not just some dude that's been doing this for a little while. There's over 23 years of experience here in a number of different segments, from large companies to small companies to enterprise to B2C to all of that. So there's a ton of experience to pull from. And I've started to kind of write notes on episodes, part of this is actually an exercise for me to remember all of those things, because it's so easy to kind of forget and lose the lessons you've learned. So while I want this podcast to be for you and for you to learn from my mistakes or learn from my experiences, it's also very much for me to remind myself and kind of like reevaluate the things that I've learned and worked through. So there you go. I'm gonna close this one out. It's been long enough. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. And I'm just gonna say thank you so much for listening, especially if you made it this far. Talking about yourself without a guest to bounce things off of feels really boring from this side, and I hope it wasn't really boring from your side. All right. Until next time, keep making good stuff, and we'll talk soon.